Hi, I'm Tom Toronto, and welcome to the Tom Toronto Show. Imagine you own a rental property, and from your chimney, hundreds of bats come into your entire house. Well, that actually happened. We're talking today with Don Ostovich, professional property manager, who's going to tell us more about that story. But before that, we're going to talk about real estate and how a professional property manager can really make that the best investment for most people. Thanks for coming out, Don.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Historically, real estate's been one of the best investments in the world. And at the same time, there are certain challenges, headaches, and liabilities that come along with it. Tell us a little bit how a professional property manager can minimize those headaches, risks, and liabilities.
The number one reason you want to hire a professional property manager for any form of real estate purchase, income-producing property, is to reduce the liability.
Okay.
To find the market areas where they're going to get the greatest income potential.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that knows the locations well, knows what kind of income it's going to produce, knows what kind of tenant is going to rent the property, what the availability is, and timeliness of getting that property rented quickly.
Yeah, and not rent it too cheap. I've seen some landlords do it themselves, and they're renting it out way too cheap, but they're afraid to change anything because they're afraid they'll lose their tenant.
Right. Yeah. One of the main things we do is we make sure that there's constant income flowing through the property.
Yeah.
While the rent doesn't just, it's not our job to just continually raise the rent every year on the tenant. We check the market. We have to see what the market is bearing, what kind of rents are coming in, take in consideration how the tenant maintains the property. Because the longer we maintain a good tenant, and the steadier the income is coming in for the owner.
What's a good reason for somebody who owns a property to use a property manager instead of doing it themselves?
I would say the most important reason any private landlord or investor should hire a professional property manager is to eliminate the personal and emotional interaction between the property owner and the tenant, which could result in loss of income, as well as possible damage and or decrease in value to the property itself.
So how could having a personal relationship between the tenant and the landlord cost them money? What would be
a typical example would be, which I see on a regular basis in my business. They develop a relationship with the tenant. Tenant brings a sob story to them. You know, they're unable to pay the rent. So they give them an extension to pay the rent. And then that extension continues to go and go until eventually several months of rent have passed where the money has not been paid. And then at that point, it's up to the landlord to, you know, do an eviction or hire a professional manager to get them out of the mess. So at that point, they've lost several months of income. They've had to hire an attorney. And if they had had a professional manager from the beginning, it never would have gotten to that point. It would have just been continual income.
So they have a really, really good sad story about why they just can't make this month's rent. And the landlord feels like, this is such a good, legitimate reason. I have to give them a break or I'm a very bad person.
Right.
And then that just happens again and again.
And so. Again. And as a property manager, it's my job to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
While I understand, yes, I'm sorry that your dog's passed away, the rent is due. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that rent's paid.
And I've seen it, the exact same scenario, many, many times and essentially, even if they have a property manager, but the landlord and the tenant have a personal relationship, they just circumvent the property manager, and the tenant goes straight to the landlord with discussions and things like that. So what are some other reasons why someone should choose a property manager? What services do you provide?
With property management, one of the number one things I let my investors and my private landlords know is I prefer you do not have any contact with the tenant.
Okay.
So I can manage your property efficiently. So there is no he said, she said. There's no circumventing what I'm doing, and proper laws and procedures are in place for that. Number two, we're handling you're going to get monthly accounting from us
right. Every
month, which is a benefit to any investor or private landlord, especially when it comes to tax time. They have us available 24/7 for emergencies. When that hot water heater leaks in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve,
right,
or whatever it is, they're able to get a hold of us. We address it right away, and the investor or private landlord doesn't even find out about it till the next following business day because they're not disturbed. That's the whole point of having a property manager.
Yeah.
Another need for a property manager is, especially if you own in a deed-restricted community, we're going to make sure that the tenant's maintaining the lawn and the landscaping the way it should be. We do regular internal inspections on the properties, you know, documenting the condition of how the tenant's maintaining. If the tenant's not maintaining the home in a clean and good condition, then you certainly don't want to renew the lease on that tenant, which is another thing that many private landlords get tied up in. They think, oh, the rent's coming in regular.
Just let it go.
And then they never go in and they never check the property and they don't see what's going on. And then 3-4 years later, when the tenant moves out, they're left with a lot of property damage and money out of their pocket.
Right, right. So the landlord doesn't have to hear the sob story and decide whether to give this break. Mm-hmm. They don't get a phone call at 11 o'clock at night that there's water leaking and the tenant doesn't know what to do. And they also get an accounting of all of the income. So it's more like any other investment where it's simply they've paid X amount of dollars and they're getting their cash flow from it.
We essentially, we do. That's what we say. You know, we're basically a form of an asset manager. This property is your asset and we're managing it for you to hopefully bring you the most amount of income you can generate from this particular property.
So, and there's also a lot of other landlord-tenant laws that you help the landlord to avoid violating. Some of them in the tenant procurement portion, and some of them maybe if the tenant's doing something wrong or eviction process. So let's talk about the tenant procurement process. So why is it good to use a property manager to avoid breaking some of the laws that are out there for tenants?
Essentially, hiring a professional property manager for the procurement process is really the screening in itself.
Okay.
The key to a good tenancy is having a very good screening policy in place, which a professional property manager does have. They're going to do a full tenant screening. They're going to do a full credit check. They're going to do a full criminal background. They're going to do personal references. They're going to check rental verifications or mortgage verifications. They're going to check their income verification. Then you have the pet situation. One of the hottest topics that we're dealing right now with property management are emotional support animals.
Okay.
And there's a lot of fraudulent activity out there with that happening.
And is it easy for someone to register one of those?
Very easy. In a matter of 10 minutes, anyone can go online and register their pet as an emotional support animal. We use a third screening pet company that is a national pet screening, and basically they do the full background check on the pet or the ESA or the service animal.
So you're saying a background check on a pet?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
To make sure that the pet qualifies to be in the property or that it is an actual ESA or service animal,
right,
and that all, you know, rules, regs, and laws are followed.
Right. And I've heard stories about it that, you know, some people obviously need a service animal or an emotional support animal, but I've heard stories about people who are using it as a way just to circumvent the system because they have a dangerous breed and they're going to try to get that dog in their house, and even though the insurance company won't like it or the landlord won't like it. So how does this help to protect the landlord in that case?
The pet screening company that we use works directly with attorneys that are fair housing attorneys and work with the ADA. So all of the applications that come in for the pet or the ESA or the service animal goes directly to those attorneys to review and check and to verify that they are an actual ESA or a service animal.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of things. I've heard of people even having ponies as
oh, yes. We've had people come with monkeys. Chinchillas. There's been a lot of them that they've tried to say.
So hypothetically, somebody could have a landlord who really doesn't want pets at all, and if I have the right certification, I could bring a pony into that
house. Correct. And that's what essentially, yes.
That's so amazing.
You cannot deny an ESA or a service animal.
Right.
Right. Correct.
Interesting. Okay, so essentially the landlord's being protected from violating, I'm sure that they're being protected from violating
fair housing,
the fair housing protected classes. They're going to leave it to you to make sure it's done right. And what about when they're not paying the rent? I've heard stories of landlords who, if they don't pay the rent, I'm cutting the power off, I'm cutting the water line off, I'm going to remove the front door and or cut off the air conditioner because they're not paying the rent. And obviously,
cannot be done.
Those right. things are against the law. So, I mean, it's, yeah, so it's a...
So, as a property manager, it is our job to collect the rent. And we're going to, per the lease, do whatever the lease states, follow the lease. If it says a three-day notice has to be served by the 5th because rent has not been received, then we would send out a process server and have the three-day notice posted. Okay. If the tenant were not to pay within that three-day period, then that's when we contact the property owner. We discuss the situation at hand, and then we come to a decision. Do we evict? Do we extend? But either way, as long as a professional manager is involved and the three-day notice has been served, we're able to do what needs to be done as long as we haven't collected any partial rent. We can evict at any time. If the private owner says, let's give them another week. Okay, we give them another week. If they don't follow through with that week, we're still able to use the attorneys and follow through with the eviction.
So essentially, it's if they're not paying the rent, You can take the fastest route possible to vacate the premises. And so from the end of the 3 days, how long would it normally take to make sure that the property is vacated and be able to...
On average in Brevard County, it's about 45 days from the time it starts processing to the time the sheriff posts the writ on the door to remove the tenant from the premises.
Okay, so let's talk for a minute about real estate agents who, a real estate agent can... procure a tenant. They can advertise for the landlord and help them to get a tenant. And some real estate agents will also dabble in property management, meaning that they may have a few investors and they say, well, you know what? I'll take care of this for you. I'll help with some repairs, collect the rent. They'll take a portion as their commission and pay the landlord. What are the dangers that you see for the average agent who's thinking of dabbling in property management for as a little side income?
Well, usually what in my experience I found that most of the agents who dabble in both sales and property management are not up to date on all the current laws and the statutes for Florida landlord statutes. Many times I've seen where there's escrow laws that have been violated because they're collecting the rent. Holding the rent in their own personal accounts. And not only is that, a violation against that agent's license, but to their broker as well, even if it's not known to the broker.
Yeah. So let's make that clear then. So you've got an agent, hypothetically here, collecting rents from their tenants, putting it in their own personal account.
Right. And you can't do, right, can't do that.
Can't be done, right.
It has to be held in trust accounts.
And we're assuming that that agent doesn't even know that,
correct.
That they think they're just helping their client and not realizing this is a huge violation.
And a professional property manager, especially one who's affiliated with the National Association of Residential Property Managers, is very up to date on legislation and education directly correlated to the property management industry. Right. They attend extensive classes on escrow accounts and trust accounting because that is a big part of what we do in property management. Right. We have to monthly account to these owners and to the tenants for these trust accounts.
Yeah, so I mean the golden rule is when you're handling other people's money, it's got to be down to the penny.
Correct.
There's no room and there's rules. So the average real estate agent with just commissions, we're not really touching other people's money. We get a commission at closing, and it's not the same because it goes through the brokerage. But as soon as you collect a rent or a security deposit, it's a completely different level. So yeah, definitely. So good suggestion to an average agent. If you're going to do it, but don't dabble in it because right. there's some serious risk involved.
I always advise to anyone that's looking to rent out their property, hire a property manager who specializes in property management. If you're going to sell your house, you hire somebody that just does sales.
Yeah. Well, really, nobody can be an expert at everything. It's not really possible time-wise. So.
And one of the two will always suffer if they're dabbling in both, absolutely.
Yeah. Can you think of any stories of some of the worst houses that you've been inside?
there's a lot of bad stories. I like to talk about some of my, probably one of my favorite stories of actually when a homeowner I was managing property for didn't take my advice on a particular situation. We found out that there were bats nesting inside the chimney.
Okay.
And they were mating. And at the time, bats are a protected species in Florida. And so we were advised that we could not cap off the chimney from either end, that a company had to come out there.
From either end, from meaning they could come into the house.
Right, okay. From the inside or the out.
Oh, nice, okay.
And that we had to let them install.
Was this the Wayne residence?
No. No. We had to install this special exit valve that allowed, basically allowed them to get in and out as they needed for mating. And we had to keep that there, but controlled the masses from more from coming in, and that it had to be in place until X amount of time. The owner was not happy with this, and I was waiting for his decision. And 2 days later, at about 11 o'clock at night, the tenant calls me in a full panic, crying, saying, I came home and there's bats all over the inside of my house. And I said, what? He goes, they're everywhere. He's like, they're on my Lazy Boy. They're in the kitchen. They're in my sink. Like I was like horrified, but at the same time, trying not to laugh for this poor gentleman, hundreds of bats. So I had to call an emergency bat company to come out there. And literally there were hundreds. I've never seen hundreds of live bats everywhere. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
Apparently, the homeowner had gone out the day prior and had sealed off the top of the chimney. And so since they couldn't get out, they came the only place they could, which was into the house. And then it ended up costing the landlord three times more than it would have if he just allowed us to put the exit valve.
Wow. That's a good one. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've seen lots of different situations with tenants. One of the cases that I had was we procured a tenant for a client of mine, and when I met them, they filled out an application. Everything looked good. Everyone checked out, and they had this sweet little dog, and they had on the application that they had a dog, and not a problem. Everything was approved, and a couple weeks later, I'm hearing, well, what's that pit bull? It was a big, angry dog that was actually the dog. So apparently they had like their, you know, someone else's dog that was for show when we were interviewing them, but the real dog was the pit bull that was going to live there. And it was kind of a shocker that they fooled us. I mean, it was like, what do we do now? I mean, we even have the lease saying that they have a dog, but it doesn't have the specifications on it. And in other cases where there's a guy who has a criminal record is now living in the property, and he wasn't on the original application because they knew that it would show up. And now you got someone in there. At least we believe so.
Right.
We're not checking every room every night. So that kind of stuff I'm sure it happens all the time.
And that's another reason you want to have a professional property manager, is that somebody who's going to be checking the property or is able, when these kind of things come up, address it properly per the Florida statutes, per what the attorneys recommend. And there are procedures in place to address those situations.
Yeah.
With the pets, you know, the key to that is making sure on the lease that, you know, the pet agreement is signed and documented with the type of pet, the breed of the pet, the weight of the pet, the name of the pet, you know.
Yeah.
Documentation is huge in property management.
Yeah, and I think that like when you hear like cases like that, that the initial instinctive reaction of the landlord is probably not something that's legal
right.
to do.
Right.
They just are angry and upset about the what the next steps are. So would you say that somebody who this applies to, and we've talked about anybody, even a local person, but definitely to anybody who's out of the area, would always want to have a property manager rather than just, remotely trying to manage a property?
I recommend anybody that has any form of property they're renting out, whether they're local, whether they're a homeowner that just needs to rent it out temporarily, or they are a large investor, always, always, always use a professional property manager to eliminate any of the things that can go wrong. You know, let them manage the asset for you. Let them take that load off your back. Let them follow the laws. Let them be the bad guy for you, so you are making the most out of your potential income-producing property.
That sounds good. So we're going to put your contact information below on the video.
Okay.
And so anybody who is interested in talking to you directly can do that. But again, thank you, Dawn, for coming out. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.